Vegas Golden Podcast coming to you from the Las Vegas Sun and brought to you by the Credit One Bank Vegas Bourne Card, the credit card perfect for passionate Vegas Golden Knights fans. I'm Case Kiefer with Justin Emerson. Seven games down, and what does that mean? 75 to go. We're hitting our midseason form here.
Yeah, I guess so. We are 1/11th and a half. I don't know what the percentage of that is through the season, but after tomorrow night, we'll be about 10% done with the season. That's kind of crazy, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like it kind of depends how you ask how you feel about the Golden Knights' start to the season, but I think all in all, I think you should be pretty happy. I think there's some people that are alarmists right now, that they're 4-3 and they've probably lost to the two best teams they've faced. I would say, like, just chill out. To me, it reeks of like the Patriots fans right now complaining about their offense. Like, this team has looked like we thought they were going to look, and they're going to be one of the best teams in the West, and I feel like they already are.
Yeah, I mean, you said it all right there. I mean, they're 4-3 right now. I mean, you give that out over an entire season, mid-90s, I guess, for points, so maybe a little lower, but if they were 5-2 right now, everybody would be happy. So we're kind of squabbling over maybe one game, and you know, that game in Arizona was kind of a stinker, but other than that, I mean, they lost to a really good Boston team, a really good Nashville team, and beat up on the Sharks twice, the Flames and the Kings. So yeah, I'm with you. I think it's been a good start to the season. There have been some really hot starts that we're going to get into here soon, but they've been good.
Yeah, don't forget those first two games where you beat up the hated Sharks that you've been waiting all offseason for. That should count for something, just a little bit extra pep in your step if you're a Golden Knights fan. Well, you mentioned it, hinted at it. The big topic this week, we are going to go with the hot starts. And two guys in particular, I don't think you can say anything negative about. Mark Stone and Riley Smith have been carrying this team, no?
Yeah, Mark Stone has. My goodness. I mean, I think when he came over, it took until the playoffs for him to really get going. He had those 12 points in seven games in the playoffs. During the regular season, though, he was kind of pedestrian from a points output standpoint. He had 11 points in 18 games. Well, through seven games to the start of the year, he has 10 points. He has five goals. He has five assists. He's been doing everything right. He had a fight. That's fun. He was an assist shy of the Gordie Howe hat trick last night, which you'd think that would be the easiest one to get, but I mean, Mark Stone has been everything that the Golden Knights could have hoped for. He's starting his new big money contract this year, been worth every dollar so far. And Riley Smith, how about that? Five goals and only one assist. So clearly, selfish player, Riley Smith.
couldn't have seen that coming. God, I'm kicking myself with this Mark Stone thing. To give you some background, I think when we did the podcast, I was so high on Mark Stone, I sounded like the biggest Vegas Golden Knight fan ever. I was taking him over for everything. Anyway, what I'm getting at is, if you saw on Twitter, I know a lot of people in the betting world, including me, tweeted out the Westgate is running a prop night contest where you picked props for every single Vegas Golden Knight. Stones were a little bit inflated, and I ended up kind of leveling myself and thinking, okay, everyone that enters this contest is going to be on the over. I'm just going to take the under on the points and goals, and I only went over assists. And at this pace right now,
that's a tough
one. I mean, you know how high I was on him. You sat in here with me. I think you ended up going under on whatever his goal total was here, maybe 34.5. I went over, but you know, it's just one of those things I thought too much about. This guy is one of the best players in the NHL. He finally has the surrounding pieces that it's going to bring the best out in him. I can't believe, even if it was like a little bit of game theory, I can't believe I ever doubted him, because he's looked just phenomenal through seven games.
Yeah, I mean, he's been one of the best players in the league. Like, it's not just that he's rolling through Golden Knights, which is funny, because I mean, people that have listened to this podcast know how much I like to talk about the possession numbers and Corsi. He's a negative Corsi player right now. I don't think anybody particularly cares, so I'll go ahead and just say that one. He's at 48.55, but I mean, if you're just gonna, he's just wrecking through everything. I mean, what he's been able to do on the power play has been tremendous. The Golden Knights power play has been very, very, very good to start the year. I think that is a bit of a surprise for people that watched the power play last year. Penalty kill, phenomenal. So they're winning battles at special teams. Their 5-on-5 numbers are good. I'll have a story at sun.com tomorrow morning. What's today? Wednesday. So Thursday morning, kind of going into some of the expected goals numbers, but in it, I noticed that the Golden Knights actually are very much underperforming their expected goals numbers as a team, which means that the best is yet to come for this hockey team still.
Yeah, we should have mentioned that on the onset. We're recording on a Wednesday. Just too much excitement to jump into. We left that part out. But so in the rear view is the Predators' loss last night, 5-2. And speaking of Mark Stone tearing through everything,
Roman Josi tore through him.
Exactly. That was what I was getting at. In the end, I think that might be what this game's remembered most for, is Mark Stone and Roman Josi, two guys that would have been extreme long shots to be in the game's first fight, just trading some punches, and Mark Stone seemingly getting the better of Josi.
Yeah, I would agree with that one. I liked what Gerard Gallant said after the game. He's like, yeah, two stars players fighting. Coaches don't like that. And you had actually mentioned it to me in the press box. You're like, yeah, I bet they're not too thrilled about that, because everybody gets caught up. You're like, yeah, that's our star. He's fighting. And then you're like, easy. Don't take one to the jaw.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like you said, we've already talked about this offline, but the arena, that might have been the loudest it was all night when Mark Stone started throwing punches. And I'm sitting there like, man, if I had a Golden Knights jersey on right now, I would be covering my eyes. That's not a guy you want to see in a fight. Although he showed, I think he'd be fine in a fight. I mean, that was a short right hook that just dropped Josi right away. So I think he's capable of fighting. I think the Golden Knights and their fans too should be hoping that's kept to a minimum.
Yeah. You'll. I mean, Ryan Reeves is your fighter on the team, right?
And then Pacioretty in a fight at the end, yeah. near the glass, which is even more dangerous place for a fight because of with good head movement. I mean, you can shatter your hand against the glass. It didn't last very long, but yeah, I don't know. This is the minutia, at least to me, that I think you have to kind of dive into to keep things interesting for 82 games. So I kind of loved it, and I don't think we're going to see another night where Stone and Pacioretty are both in a one-on-one fight
first
all season.
First night in Golden Knights history that they had more than one fight.
Oh, I forgot about that. I had no idea. Yeah, I remember that they
had one in the preseason. The one, okay, the right. Arizona game, the first preseason game, had Keegan Kolesar and Mason Primo both drop the gloves. So not the first time ever, but those guys are still years away from the NHL if they make it at all. So
they're a little squirrely this year. Then I remember like year one, they didn't fight for like ever. It was like a long streak of them never fighting. I feel like they didn't fight much last year. Are they? I don't know. Yeah, just
now we've got. What, there was that second game in San Jose where we had like four misconducts, which Nick Hague is not on the Golden Knights stat page right now. I wonder what that is. But anyway, yeah, they had like a couple of misconducts in that game. They had the couple of fights against Nashville, of all teams. They didn't have a fight against the Sharks. They had an official fight, I guess. But like we had said, Mark Stone already 10 points this year. Max Pacioretty is a point per game player. He has only 2 goals, but 8 points. William Karlsson, point per game, 7 assists in 7 games. Riley Smith, Paul Stastny, each with 6 points. Cody Glass with 5 points. So is Shea Theodore. So they've been lighting up the scoreboard pretty well to start the year.
Absolutely, and we got so carried away with Mark Stone, as one is wont to do, but we should circle back to Riley Smith, yep. Who, I mean, he's been great to watch. He's been probably the second most valuable player on the team. I mean, I guess it depends where you go with that, but 5 goals, you can't argue against that, sharing the lead with Stone. However, I think this is one that probably you're not going to count on to continue as much as Mark Stone, right?
Riley Smith is on pace for about 58 goals. He's shooting 25%, which is more than double his career total. You want to take the odds that keeps up?
Well, I mean, you know what I mean. I think Mark Stone, I don't think keeps the same pace, but I think he's closer than Riley Smith for sure. He's going to be a good player, but this is a little out of the ordinary to start to the year.
Yeah, I would agree. Riley Smith, at no point in his career has had more than 17 goals at 5-on-5, already 4 through 7 games. He has a shorthanded goal. He's been tremendous, and it hasn't entirely been, I don't want to say it's been fluky. I mean, he's taken advantage of some opportunities that have been there, but I mean, he has 16 shots at 5-on-5 and 4 goals. It's just not going to happen. So great start for Riley Smith, though. Those goals will count all season long. And it's good because right now he's the one scoring goals on a line that otherwise is basically doing everything except score goals. William Karlsson and Jonathan Marchessault, there we had mentioned Carlson's assist numbers have been great. Marchessault and Karlsson, along with Smith, up near the top of the league in some expected goals numbers. So it's been a really good line. They just Marchessault and Karlsson haven't scored. That's kind of the point of my story that I'm writing for tomorrow. But if Riley Smith is going to carry the load right now, that's just fine, because at some point this year, Karlsson and Marchessault will.
Yeah, and we'll get to our Shining Knight competition as we do every week at the end of the podcast. But I will, to tease it, needle you just a little bit, is that one of your possible strategies last week after I took William Karlsson was to try to block me with a fellow first liner.
I took maybe less.
Maybe you should have gone. When you were acting it out, you said, do I try to go with someone?
Do I go with, like, Riley Smith or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
so might have been a good strategy. But we'll get to that later, recount what happened and make this week's matchup. But in the meantime, let's escape the fortress where we look at the rest of the NHL. Only a little bit of an escape today, though.
Not going far.
Yeah, I don't want to go too far. Let's look at the rest of the Pacific, which, you know, we keep stressing it's only been a few games. Like you said, 1/11th, 12th, whatever, of the season. So can't draw too many conclusions. But I think this is the craziest, I guess the most surprising set of standings of any of the four divisions in the lead. I don't think anyone saw Edmonton in Anaheim, despite playing one fewer games than Vegas and Calgary, being at the top of the Pacific.
Yeah, they both, I mean, Edmonton's played one fewer game and has two extra points. Edmonton 5-1 to start the year. I think I saw a stat today that Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, James Neal, we'll talk about him in a sec, and Zach Cassian have combined for like 87% of their goals, so like four players. But, I mean, they're rolling right now. I mean, they're not going to... Again, we're looking at a team that would be like a 130-point team or something if this continues. So obviously it won't, but Edmonton been very good. They've been just been able to score kind of at will. Anaheim, kind of the opposite. They have struggled to score. They only have 13 goals this year, but have only allowed 10. John Gibson, I think we mentioned him on the pod. I said he might be one of the best goalies in the league. He's doing it again. This is exactly what he did last year. He dragged a subpar Anaheim team kicking and screaming as far as he could before he ran out of gas, and it is happening again. John Gibson has been tremendous to start the year, and looking at it right now, Edmonton, Anaheim, and Vegas would be your playoff teams from the Pacific. Who would have thought that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was a really good overview of what Anaheim and Edmonton have done to get to this point. I don't know if you disagree. I like Anaheim more going forward. I mean, you look at some of the stuff like shot rates. It just seems like the Oilers have had a lot of good fortune to put in that many goals. I feel like Anaheim is getting more pucks towards the net, for lack of a better term, than they were last year. Gibson has been amazing, but I think that's going to even out sometime. I'm actually all in on this Ducks team. I think they're going to be in the playoff race throughout.
Somebody mentioned in the preview podcast that the Ducks were going to be a lot better than other people.
And someone's mentioned that in the two regular season podcasts ever since then, too. Well, are you still on that, though? If you had to take one of these two teams right now, I mean, I'm just buying the Ducks start more than the Oilers. That the Oilers do have the ultimate cheat code in Connor McDavid. So I don't know which one of the two do you buy more, I guess.
The ultimate cheat code is a fair way of putting it.
And James Neal may be the ultimate cheat code. I mean, one of the leaders in the NHL in goals or points right now.
If I had to pick, I think I might take Anaheim. Their expected goal numbers, they are positive at 5-on-5 for the year so far. Edmonton is negative. PDO numbers, Anaheim skews very high. That's a combination of very high save percentage. And Edmonton a little bit more middle of the pack. Let's take a look at some other numbers. I mean, it's been a good start for both. Whether or not it's sustainable, probably not. They're both negative Corsi numbers. So if I had to default, I would actually say I would think that neither of them end up in the playoffs at the end of this. San Jose, I don't know. Calgary, I think, will be fine.
Who wasn't on that podcast that said 94 and a half points over is the best bet on the board?
Bet. Yeah, I know. So not everything I say.
Yeah, let's just relitigate everything you say this podcast.
Yeah, I know. This is the same guy that took the Dallas Stars to be in the Western Conference Final, and they're 1-5-1 right now. Oof. So, yeah, your Nashville pick looking a lot better there, huh?
Yeah, how about, I mean, we always kind of tie in some of the betting stuff because that's the perspective I come from a lot, but there are two teams that I think, caught people's eyes that were, you know, expected to take a big leap back. We're getting out of the Pacific now, but in the Western, still the Central. It was Colorado and Dallas, and what different results?
One's not.
Yeah, Colorado, the last undefeated team standing. They play at Pittsburgh tonight, so this could be old by the time you hear it. But Dallas, just really struggling.
Yeah,
1-5-1.
It's been very bad. Goaltending just has not been up to snuff. Ben Bishop, I feel like, starts slow every year. But yeah, they're minus 10 goal differential, which is one of the worst in the league. That is the third worst in the National Hockey League right now. Yeah, they've been very bad. So I did say Dallas would go to the Western Conference Final. I also said that Colorado would win the Central. So I'm batting like a solid 500 right
I didn't even remember those parts.
But yeah, then again, I said San Jose would win the Pacific. And well, they got some work to do.
They have won two in a row now, though. They also play tonight. But to get back to the Pacific and what started this whole mess, I kind of agree with all you're saying about Edmonton and Anaheim. I'm not ready to write them into the playoffs by any means at all. I'm just saying I would not be surprised if we go into the last couple weeks and Anaheim has a shot. They're fighting for a wild card or even a third in the Pacific. And I think Edmonton, to me, is a little bit harder to sell.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fun start for Edmonton, I think. And, I mean, maybe Connor McDavid just decides that he's just over it and is like, you know what, I'm going to put up 150 points this year and just drag this team into the playoffs. Me and Leon Draisaitl are just going to do this thing. But, I mean, you remember Anaheim last year. It was the same thing. They started really well, but we just knew that it was coming. Not as bad right now. They do have a positive goal differential, but I'm just not a believer in Anaheim's offense, and I'm not a believer in Edmonton's defense. So if you could put John Gibson on the Oilers, though, I think that you might have a Stanley Cup contender.
Absolutely. I do think, I guess, a little different than last year. I feel like Anaheim's underlying numbers, like PD and stuff, were just absolutely through the roof last year. This year, I mean, you still can see they're getting a little bit lucky, but I think it's been a little bit better. So that's why I think Anaheim will be able to sustain a little better. All that being said, now we've already kind of made fun of the Sharks, said that Edmonton and Anaheim may or may not be for real. We need more evidence. That doesn't leave many other teams in the Pacific. Who should Vegas be worried about? I mean, they beat up on Calgary in their one meeting. What do you think the outlook for the Golden Knights is? Who's the team to watch to creep up on it?
Well, right now, if I had to pick, I'd say that I'm more convinced, I think, right now than I was at the beginning of the year that Vegas is going to win the Pacific. And I had them second. I thought the Sharks were going to win the Pacific. But right now, I don't really see a true contender. I mean, and maybe we do this in a month or two, and Edmonton and Anaheim are still at the top of the division, and we got to reassess that. But Arizona has a tremendous defense, maybe the best in the league, their goaltending defense combo, but man, can they not score. Vancouver's hanging around. They're 3-2 as we record this. But oh man, if I had, I don't know who the biggest, threat in the Pacific is right now. I think I'm still going to stick with San Jose. There's a lot of worry there, obviously, the way that they just got just steamrolled in their first four games. But if they're able to get it together, they're still a dangerous team. So to answer your question, a long-winded answer, I think that San Jose is still the biggest threat to Vegas right now.
Yeah, I guess if I had to pick one.
Don't love the Pacific, though.
Yeah, right? I mean, I might not pick any of them. I guess I'm just Mr. Positivity this year. I think I've written three Golden Knights columns. All of them were very positive.
Yeah, just last night, you're like, it wasn't that bad.
I picked them to...
I did like that column. I thought you made some really good points in it.
I picked them to win the Pacific, to at least get to the Western Conference Finals. I feel like I don't have ever anything bad to say, but nothing scares me.
I mean, what's happened in the first 2 weeks of the season that would make you change your opinion that they're going to win the Pacific right now? Like, you came in thinking they were going to win. I don't know what's changed.
Yeah, so looking good for the Vegas Golden Knights is our, I guess, consensus after looking at the Pacific. This division is just weak, and it's a gift to them. You know, it allows them to stumble even a little bit, which they haven't done, and still be right up there. So it's all looking good on that front for Vegas. Let's get to their upcoming games. We're going to try the best we can to record these on Mondays.
It's a weird week. I was out of town this week.
Yeah, I was out of town this weekend, too. And by out of town, you mean just playing, sitting on your couch playing NHL 2020?
No, I was in Reno for a wedding, but I did get, I got home Monday, and I'm, okay, let's play NHL.
How's your, What's your standard?
I've been doing the create a player lately. Okay. Off to a good start. Got drafted first overall by the Devils.
Ooh, the Devils.
I know.
It's a nice. That's a nice jersey, the Don.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. My my franchise mode sucks. I can't make the playoffs. So.
Who'd you play with in franchise mode?
I think I did an expansion team. Just because that's always kind of fun, the expansion draft. But anyway.
Maybe I need to get on NHL 2020 so we can have a... weekly updates. I know we
that
have.
That is exactly what people would love to hear. Is
hey, there's the gamer world might be more wide stretch than you think.
We'll go down to the esports arena and host our podcast. Though.
All right. Well, you heard it, Justin Emerson, a modern or a futuristic Jack Hughes on the first overall pick on the New Jersey Devils. But anyways, the Golden Knights. Two games this week since we're going to try to record on Mondays. Ottawa. Tomorrow night in Vegas, then they go to Pittsburgh on Saturday. Ottawa, probably the least talented team in the league. If you had to pick one team that's going to be have the worst record at the end of the year, probably them. Pittsburgh, still in the thick of things, but they've had some injuries to start the year. They're sitting at 4-2. Still a tough game to go to Pittsburgh. I don't know, two Eastern Conference opponents, anything else tie this stretch together in your mind?
Well, of course, the Ottawa game has the big implications of a former player returning, and I'm speaking, of course, of Eric Brandstrom's the revenge game against the Vegas Golden Knights for trading him. Or, you know, maybe the Mark Stone against against his old team where he spent the first 6-7 years of his career. So it's going to be a cool night for Stone to play against his old team and what is the best start to his career so far. So he's kind of got some got broken up with revenge body thing going on right now that it's like, okay, come see me. I'm doing better than I was when I left you. So we were talking to him today in the locker room and he said, no, it'll be cool. It's I know a lot of the guys over there. I know a lot of the training staff. I know everything. It's going to be a fun night. To play them again, reiterated how much he loved his time there and how happy he is to be in Las Vegas. And I don't blame him.
I know this is no surprise, but another one of those hockey toughness tales. Brandstrom, getting back to him, didn't miss a single game after taking that skate to the face. He's appeared in all five games. If you haven't seen that GIF or highlight,
stuff.
Yeah, if you've got the stomach for it, you see it's like, God, that was scary. So I don't that'll be interesting to see him back at T-Mobile Arena.
For the first time. He never played.
Yeah, and the fans really rallied around him though in the preseason and stuff.
Yeah,
it seemed like out of the three, out of him, Glass, and Suzuki, kind of from the beginning, it was probably just more his flashy style. It seemed like he was the one people kind of gravitated towards the most.
Yeah. I mean, Eric Brandstrom's gonna have a terrific career, and Vegas is gonna watch him have a terrific career in Ottawa. But just know, every time Eric Brandstrom does something cool, that Mark Stone does stuff cool too. And I think that this is a trade that could end up working out pretty well for both sides. Stone is obviously exactly what Vegas needed. Brandstrom, a big part of the Senators' rebuild. But you're right about the talent on the Senators. They have some good young players, Brady Tkachuk, Thomas Chabot, Colin White. I mean, these are good players, but they're just not a good hockey team. Golden Knights should take care of them pretty handedly. Then, like you said, going into Pittsburgh's never easy, and we thought maybe when they lost Evgeny Malkin that they'd be in trouble. No, as it turns out, they're just going to just win a lot of games by a lot of goals. So Penguins are playing really well right now, so that's going to be a tough one. It's going to kick off a three-game road trip for the Knights. I say they split them. I say they beat Ottawa and lose to Pittsburgh. What say you, Case?
Hey, you know, Ottawa's only win this year against the Lightning.
Tampa Bay Lightning, yeah.
This will probably be the second biggest, or that game might have been in Ottawa, actually. So this will be the biggest underdog they've been this year. Could they go 2-for-2 in beating the favorites in each conference get to the Stanley Cup final? I'm gonna say no. I don't think Ottawa comes out to Vegas and wins.
What do you have you seen the line on tomorrow's game? What do you think? Have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
What would you guess that it is?
In Vegas, especially, I'm going to say the Golden Knights. It's still early in the season, so I guess you got to hold back. I'll say minus 260.
You're holding back at minus 260.
Well, I mean, just barely. My first thought was minus 280, and then I was like, okay, it's early in the season. Usually there's more.
270.
Okay. So, wow.
So right. Splitting the difference there. Good call. I mean, that's why you're the betting guy out of us. I had no idea what the betting was. Ottawa plus 235. Real good value if you think they're going to win.
Oof, yeah, I think I will be staying away from this one. Yeah,
I don't think the value is there on either side. Really
very high price to pay, but I don't think Ottawa has that much of a chance. So I'm with you, Vegas in that one. Going to Pittsburgh. God, this one's tough. We're working with incomplete information, obviously, because Pittsburgh has a couple. I think they have a couple games before then. Now I don't have their schedule in front of me. They've looked good without Malkin, as you said. 7 goals back to back against Winnipeg and Minnesota,
which not the best teams.
Yeah, but still 14 goals in 2 games. I think you'll take that anytime.
Yes, yes.
Colorado and Dallas, Justin's 2 favorite teams, is who they have before Vegas. They're in a back-to-back. I am, as I already said, Mr. Positivity, so I'm going to say Vegas wins both these games, goes to Pittsburgh
Vegas
and wins as well.
Going to lose another game this season.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, then just wait till how glowing my columns are when they're 79-3.
Man,
but
when they're bad in 2035 or whatever, you're going to be brutal.
Yeah, exactly. So you had a split, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm going to go.
That's kind of the easy pick, but
I'm going to go with they win both these games.
Okay, cool.
So a little different on that. Let's get to the final segment of the show every week, the Shining Knight competition. I was watching all these games last week, or at least following them. I missed some on the weekend, but I couldn't remember who you had. I knew I had William Karlsson, and I knew he was looking good. He made some great passes, and I was like, I think I'm good, but I can't remember for sure who Justin took.
I had Cody Glass, so it's a victory for you. Glass didn't have a bad week. Karlsson had a very good one. So I now 1-1, evened up the record. I had Stone in the first week. Good job, Justin. So how do we do it? Do we alternate who picks first? Or
yeah, I think we should alternate.
Or is it the win? Okay.
I think so, we should probably just alternate.
I think Jonathan Marchessault's dude breakout. I'm gonna go with him. Only 2 games for this week's Shining Knight, but I'm gonna go Jonathan Marchessault. I think he gets on the board this week.
All right, I'm taking this guy, but I want to hear your thoughts on him too.
Okay.
After I do, just to let you know, I'm not trying to get inside information. I'm just going with a guy who a few times last night I was like, whenever I'm like, wow, who was that? Who made that play? And I figure out it was the guy. I want to go with him. I've been impressed with Tomas Nosek so far this year.
Wow.
What do you think about? I don't
know.
It's
a bold pick. He's played well. I mean, he has 3 goals already this year. He looks terrific on the penalty kill. Yeah, not too bad.
In that game where the fourth line broke out with 3 goals, mm-hmm. I think he might have only had 1 of them, but he was really
no. He had
2 of them. Okay.
San Jose in the second night, he had a 3-point game. So yeah, he's interesting.
I don't know. This is like strictly. I'm usually like you. I think more of a numbers guy and trying to look for an edge for this. But every once in a while, you just got to throw that to the wind and go with more the eye test. And I've really liked how he's looked this year. There's been a few times where I'm surprised that it's even him when he makes a nice move or really flies down the ice. So I know you had a good story on him going into the season about how badly he wanted to play center, that he felt like he was better there. And I mean, I think I've seen that through 7 games.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been good. He looks real good as a center. He looks really good defensively, I'll say. But the offense has been there as well. He already has 3 goals and 4 points so far this season. So yeah.
And the penalty kill's been great, and he is kind of a staple on that.
He looks very good on the penalty kill. Yeah.
All right. So Jonathan Marchessault versus Tomas Nosek. Might be a lot of variance in this one since it's only 2 games.
Yeah,
but
I mean, this would be your time, right? Like, it just playing the odds. Like, Marchessault is going to have a better season than Nosek, but over 2 games, really, anything can happen.
Yeah, I didn't put that much thought into it. I just came in here
like
saying
it.
I'm picking this
like
guy,
it.
But I like that
it.
You are further justifying it for me. I think that does it for Vegas Golden Podcast, second week of the regular season. The show is brought to you by Credit One Bank. Vegas Born Card. We thank them. We thank you all for listening and hope you continue to tune in every week. We'll be back next Monday, hopefully talk about some more games and talk about how great it was to see Tomas Nosek put in back-to-back hat tricks.
Yeah, there we go.
Shining
there
Knight
we
competition.
Go.
we'll be back Monday. Thanks a lot.